It's not enough, in other words, to pray through the keyhole and never bother to open the door. And lots of people do that. They go through life praying through the keyhole, but they never open the door.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
Laodicea is located about 100 miles straight east of Ephesus, about 43 miles to the southeast of Philadelphia. Laodicea had been a fortress. The serious handicap that all its water supply had to come by underground aqueduct from springs no less than 6 miles away. And by the time it arrived from 6 miles away through that aqueduct, it was lukewarm. And that's what Jesus has in mind when he uses this kind of verbiage. Laodicea was a great banking and financial center. It was so wealthy that it did not even need God. Secondly, it was a great center of clothing manufacture. The sheep which grazed around Laodicea were famous for their soft, violet, black, glossy wool. Laodicea was so proud of the garments it produced that it never realized it was naked in the sight of God. And it was a very considerable medical center, so famous were its doctors that the names of some appeared on the coins of Laodicea. And that medical school was famous for two things, ointment for the ear and ointment for the eye. Its Phrygian powder, it was called, was exported all over the world in solidified tablet form in the shape of little rolls. Laodicea was so conscious of its medical skill in the care of the eyes that it never realized that it was spiritually blind. It's a fascinating city, a fascinating story, and a fascinating message from Jesus to it. This, the sternest of Christ's messages to the churches, employs a medical model by using two sobering pictures. First is the condition of a sick body. That's verses 15 to 17. I think there are two weakening influences that show up in this diagnosis. Jesus is sort of diagnosing the body, and he's using sort of a medical model. And he's defining for us the nature of their sickness. And it seems to me that there are two weakening influences that show up in this diagnosis. One is low-level commitment. The second is high-level contagion. Now, there's a second sobering picture in this medical model, an overview of the church at Laodicea. And I call it the prescription for a sovereign remedy. And there are several components. Let me do it quickly. Number one, the first component in this prescription is take your medicine. And he defines what it is there. He tells them what to buy. They consider themselves self-sufficient. They must humbly find their sufficiency in Jesus Christ. I counsel you to buy from me, from Christ, exactly what they need, because what they need cannot be found anywhere else. They can only get it from Christ. Here's welcome news for naked, blind beggars. They are poor, but Christ has gold. I think it's a symbol of faith. 1 Peter 1:7. James 2 and verse 5. They are poor, but Christ has gold. They are naked, but Christ has clothes. I think it's a symbol of righteousness. All of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in the eyes of God. I need new robes of righteousness to surround me and make me fit to stand in the presence of a holy God. Where will those new robes, those new white garments come from? They come from Jesus Christ. It's his righteousness charged to my account when I receive him as my Savior, and that makes me fit for heaven. They are blind, but Christ has eye salve, a symbol, I think, of illumination. They are no longer to trust in their banks, their Phrygian eye powders, or in their clothing factories. Instead, they and we must all turn to Jesus Christ. Only he can enrich our poverty. Only he can clothe our nakedness. Only he can heal our blindness. Take your medicine. That's the first component in this prescription. The second is break with your sin. Do you notice verse 19? Be zealous and repent. To repent is to turn with resolution from all that is known to be contrary to God's will. To turn with resolution from all that is known to be contrary to God's will. What is a part of my life journey at this moment that I know to be contrary to God's will? What am I to do with that? Be zealous and repent, Jesus says. And we are to do this with zeal. We're to do it with passion, not in the customary, complacent way which characterized Laodicea normally. And the aorist tense, for you Greek grammarians, it's an aorist tense imperative, suggests a sudden, sharp, decisive break with the present realities of self-sufficiency and deadening apathy. Take your medicine, Jesus says. Break with your sin. Can I go a step further? He says, open your heart. And that's what's going on, I think, in verse 20. And one of the things I note immediately here is that this is a personal appeal. I believe verse 20 is composed of words that are not addressed to the church as a whole, but to individuals within the church. Singular personal pronouns are used. If any person, if any man, if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him, singular, and sup with him, singular, and he with me, singular. It's a beautiful metaphor. I think appealing to unsaved people in that church. That's how I look at it. It's an appeal to those who were in the church and on its rolls, but not in Christ and not in a right relationship with him. And therefore, I think it is a universal invitation to someone who is not yet saved. It's a beautiful metaphor. Our heart or soul is likened to a dwelling. You have your dwelling. I have my dwelling. Each of us likes to rule his own roost, to be the king of his own castle. But Jesus wants to come in. And when Jesus comes in, things change. Somebody else wants to rule the roost and be the king of the castle, so to speak. He wants to enter the house of your heart. And he wants to enter the house of my heart. And when I was a 16-year-old boy, I invited him in to do that. He entered the house of my heart. And what a wonderful journey it's been. Do you know how he does this? He entreats us. Do you notice there? If you're looking at verse 20 of Revelation 3, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He entreats us. I'm stunned to think of who it is that stands there knocking at the house of my heart. It's the crucified Christ, the hand that knocks and the feet which stand on the threshold still bear the print of the nails. It's the risen Christ. His tomb is empty. It's the gentle Christ. He is standing, not pushing. He's knocking, not pounding. He's speaking, not shouting. He could put his shoulder to the door. Instead, he puts his hand to the knocker. He could command. Instead, he invites. And he not only entreats us, if you go a bit further, he exhorts us. He tells us, hear my voice, open your door. That's an exhortation. Hear my voice. God speaks in lots of ways. How does he speak to you? It could be through a financial collapse. It could be through a moral catastrophe. It could be through a familial crisis. It could be through a medical emergency. It could be in many other ways. But supremely, this is how God speaks. God speaks supremely through his word. Every time you read God's word, every time you hear it preached or explained, God speaks to you. Now, what he says to us when we hear it is, listen. Do you hear my voice? Then he goes a step further in his exhortation. Then he tells us to open the door. It's not enough, in other words, to pray through the keyhole and never bother to open the door. And lots of people do that. They go through life praying through the keyhole, but they never open the door. It's not enough to push money under the door, under the threshold where he is standing there by his feet. To go through life being philanthropic and giving money to religious causes or to social causes or to philanthropic causes and think that somehow on that basis I shall merit heaven. No, that is not enough. We have to open the door. It's not enough to admire Christ's holy character or affirm his noble teachings from a safe distance where he cannot get into our lives. Only one thing will do. If you hear his voice, you must open the door. You must invite him in from the threshold outside your life, onto the throne inside your life. And every one of us needs to answer that question. Have I ever done that? Have I heard his voice? Have I opened the door? On which side of the door is Jesus Christ? And if he is not on the inside, we are not Christians. We may be religious. We're praying through the keyhole. We may be givers, we're pushing money under the door, under the threshold. But are we Christians? Have we opened our heart to Christ? Have we invited him in? If we do so, then the Bible says he will enter us, I will come into him. He doesn't give things to us, he gives himself to us. And he will not only enter us, he will enrich us. I will sup with him and he with me. We will sit down to a luscious, lavish, Oriental dining table. We shall recline at meal as they do in the Orient and be filled to the brim with Jesus Christ. We shall spend the rest of our lives getting to know one another. We shall experience shared joys and reciprocal fellowship. You with Jesus and Jesus with you. I mean, that is the prescription. That is the remedy for apathy and self-sufficiency, for emptiness and deadness in our life and in our journey. That is how one becomes a Christian. And when one recognizes his status as a Christian in these phenomenal terms, he becomes excited about what he has in the Son of God. And the final two points are there. Anchor to your hope and listen to your God. Verse 21, there's something wonderful ahead. If we let Christ enter the house of our heart, he will let us enter the house of his Father. If we allow Christ to sit at us with our table, he will allow us to sit with him at his throne. Supping with him here and now on earth, reigning with him in the kingdom of God when it's established on earth. Dynamite hope, anchor to that hope. Get excited about what is ahead of you and serve Christ right now on account of it. And then listen to God, verse 22. He stands and knocks and speaks. Don't turn a deaf ear to what he is saying to you. If we fall into the mode of being an apathetic believer, and we're neither hot nor cold, but we are lukewarm, listen to what he is saying to us in this letter. And if we've not yet received Jesus Christ, know and understand that he stands at the threshold of your life. He knocks at the door of your heart. Do you hear his voice? Have you ever opened the door? Will you open the door? Are you a Christian? On which side of the door is Jesus Christ? Do you remember when you heard his voice out of the text of Scripture through a Christian witness? Do you remember the occasion you opened the door? And if you haven't done that, will you do it? Even today, will you do it? As Christians, I want to ask those of us who are Christians, what is the condition of our heart today? Are we on fire for Jesus Christ or are we lukewarm? Are we pleasing to our Lord or nauseating to his system so that he spews us out of his mouth? On a scale of 1 to 10, as I close, on a scale of 1, chilling frigidity, cold, and 10, flaming fidelity, hot. On a scale of 1 to 10, cold to hot, which number best describes my personal walk with Jesus Christ? My relationship to the Son of God at this moment in my journey? And is it possible that, like some of the Laodiceans, we need to be zealous and repent?
Thank you for joining us for Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you would like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. You can call area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, email khmg@hbcguam.net. Coming up next time on Living Redemptively.
The shape love takes with skin on, my skin and yours, we're to flesh it out in our daily lives.
That's coming up next time on Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.